Thank you, Lord. Well, we spent some time last week just kind of introing this and started, I don't know how many sessions we'll stay on this, talked about that you can have what you say, just started it. And we said a few different things around this. Brother Hagin did not write Mark 11:22-24, any of these other scriptures that we'll read. Kenneth Copeland didn't write it, Andrew Womack didn't write it. It's part of the Bible. And we spent some time just talking about some things in way of introduction, that we have to know what we believe from the Bible. You have to know what you believe because God said it, not because some man said something that you think you believe. But it doesn't work to say, well, such and such said it, and so I'm going to believe it. You can't take that to the bank. I'm not saying you can't receive from men, but ultimately our faith has to be in God. We have to believe His Word. We have to know His Word, because you'll be challenged on it. It doesn't do any good to because your church said something, or because your mom said something, or your dad said something, or your sister, or your best friend. If you're believing the Word, then you're believing God. And that's what's going to work. Because when push comes to shove, when you're facing a problem in life, when you're facing a challenge in life, you have to know who you're believing. You have to know what you're believing, because you'll be pushed. The enemy doesn't want anybody to push into his territory, to push in his ground. This earth is cursed. It is under a curse. God has redeemed the Christian through Jesus Christ. If we'll believe on Him, and we can be freed from every curse and free from every bondage, but it's because of what He did, and we have to believe on that. But Satan doesn't want any to be free. He doesn't want any to walk in what God has the goodness that God has provided for us. So he will push back. He's a bully. He's wicked. He's never nice. He will never give an inch. He will only do what he's commanded to do and made to do. But if he can push back on you and get you to relinquish and say, well, I guess it's not working for me. I don't know why, but I don't have any faith, or I just can't believe, or get you to back off, then by your own pronouncement, by your own words, by your own actions, you've given him place again. And that's what he's looking for. So you will be challenged. So these things aren't light. This is not a game. People sometimes treat the things of God, I'm not saying intentionally, but like it's this game that I'm going to see how much word I can go listen to, and how much knowledge I can accumulate. Let's see how many sermons I can hear, and how many, MP3s or CDs or whatever I can listen to and check them off, because then, as if it's this competition, or I'm building something up just to build it up, rather than I'm listening to the Word so that I can apply it. You can listen to the Word all the time and not be any more built up if you don't apply it, if you don't actually believe it, if it's just knowledge up here. I know that. I believe it because that's what my church believes. You won't grow. When you grow is when something's in front of you and it's challenging what you say you believe, what the Word says, and you push back, and you stay with it. Then you'll see yourself grow, because the enemy will bring pressure to bear, but then you'll push back, you'll get through it, and you'll say, all that pressure, that was a lie. And you'll see it. Once you go through it, now you have confidence. Now you have more confidence. Confidence comes from the Word, but we need to walk it out. So we talked about some of those things just in way of introduction, but let's turn over to Mark 11:22. Praise God. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" So notice, as we start here, it says, verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." What you have in your heart is eventually going to come out. Now, it may not come out here. It may not come out at your job. But if you have things in your heart and really believe certain things, pressure tends to bring out what is really in you. Anybody found that out yet?
Yes.
You can talk a good talk. I mean, we're not. This, I mean, from a surface point of view, like you can look a good. You look like you have it together. You can come around people at church, and I've been around this thing my whole life. I've seen see people that you know they don't. They're trying to act like they believe, but you can just tell they don't really believe it. Why? Just the way they say things. Way a person says something, your words will tell on you, will give you away. What you say, it doesn't matter in one word you're saying that I believe, but then what are your other words? And not what you're saying here. What do you say when you're at home alone? What do you say when you're driving down the interstate and nobody's in the car and you know nobody can hear you? What do you say then about the situation? What do you say when you're home in your bedroom alone and there's nobody around? That's what matters more than what you say in church, because sometimes we're led by we don't want to look bad, right? Especially if you walked around certain things for a while. Well, I know I'm not supposed to say certain things. Well, if you're saying I know I'm not supposed to say it and you're halfway out your mouth, I mean, you basically are there. You're saying, I know I shouldn't say it, but basically you're not saying it because you think you shouldn't, even though that's what you believe and you're already there. Now, I'm not saying you should just let it out anyway. What I am saying is, if you watch that, it will tell on you. What is in our hearts will come out. It will. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look on your sheet there. In Matthew 12:33, it says, "Brood of vipers," he's talking to the religious leaders, "how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his evil treasure brings forth evil things." What we believe in our heart will come out. Notice what we read in verse 23. It says in Mark 11:23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt where? In his heart, but believes that those things he says," believes where? Believes with your heart. We'll read that in a minute. "That if he believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." What is in our heart is very important. Let's look at Proverbs 4:20 on your sheet there. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of" where? "Of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Does that sound like out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. So this is emphasizing what you do with your heart. He says, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do you realize? I think most of us do, but I don't know that we realize it to the degree that we ought to. How many voices and how much noise and how many distractions there are in this world, in this realm. You can be easily, very easily distracted pretty much all the time. Even if I'm not talking about just superficially like, well, no, I'm concentrating on my work and such. Yeah, but what's going on in the back of your mind? What do you do as soon as you get out of work? What do we listen to on the radio or through our sound system? What do we look at as soon as we have a break? You know, I have a break at work and I'm going like this and flipping through and checking. What am I looking at? What are the messages and the words and the images that are coming in? See, if I'm putting that in, it's going into my heart. And so then, what do I want coming out of my heart under pressure? What I looked at, you know, I mean, the latest news story that I'll forget tomorrow, and that is more than likely something negative. If I'm looking, I'm not against the news, but I'm just saying, what do we have a steady diet of? What is going into our heart? We can be distracted. We look at our phone, you know, we have breaks and you get out and then you put music on and then you get home and you're watching certain, you know, TV. And then, you know, there can be, none of those things are bad in and of themselves. It's just a matter of what are those things. So what are we putting in? Then sometimes we're like, well, I know I'm supposed to believe God, but really all the things that are in our heart don't have anything to do with that. Now, this is not a legalistic thing. People say, well, I got to do such and such so I get such and such results. It's just a reality thing. It's not you do it to try to check off something. It's just a matter of whatever you're going to continually put in and focus on and give your attention to, like what this says, that is what your life is going to follow. And it's no surprise then, if something pushes on us, then what comes out? Because out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth is going to speak, and it's going to speak something. And if what we've seen on TV is somebody gets sick and then they die, as soon as something happens in your body, your image, your mind is going to replay things that you've seen that it relates to. But if we're looking at what the Word of God says and that displaces it, these other things are a distant memory, but our heart is full with what the Word says, then when certain things happen, the images of what the Word says and what God says, it's going to come out. That becomes more real to us. And jumping ahead, those are the words that come from a full heart of the Word. Those are the words that are actually going to change your life. Amen. So in other words, it's not just saying. Notice none of these scriptures we've read so far, and we'll look at more, they don't say, just say something. See, people have taken these things and run off, and they'll make fun of this. That's not lost on me or anybody else that's been around for a long time. That's not, and people think they're discovering something new and say, blab it, grab it, name it. You're missing it. And they act like it's some magic wand, like people are just say it and it'll happen. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. You're talking about legalities in the spiritual realm. You're talking about the fact that there is a God of this world. Satan is real. And he has a certain amount of authority on this earth. And the only reason that we could be out from that authority is by believing on what Jesus did for us and standing up and taking our authority. Well, how are you going to do that unless you know something, unless you've deposited something in your heart, and it's a legality when you step up and say it. And you speak it. It's not a matter of, well, I'm just going to say I have a new car to have a new car. I have 10,000 oil wells and it's just going to happen. People have to, well, that doesn't happen. See, this is stupid. They're ignorant. Yeah. That's ignorance. That's showing ignorance of what the Word says, because the Word and what we're reading is not saying you just say it. Right. Thank God we didn't get everything we just said. If it happened like that and you just said, thank God that hasn't happened in my life, in probably your life, you could think, I'm so glad. So glad that you could probably think of something right now. That did not happen. Thank God for His mercy. That's not the same thing as I believe it. I've seen the Word of God, and this has resonated on the inside of me, your spirit man, and then you speak it out from a full heart. That's different. See, that carries a punch. So you can't measure that. This is why this irritates people, and it comes, things of faith. Don't be surprised that it will irritate and it will confuse people that are not people of faith. They want to understand everything here. I didn't say shut off your brain. You need your brain. And you shouldn't just take things just, you know, like a baby bird just with its mouth open. On the other hand, you are, if you're going to walk by faith, you will not understand everything with your senses. So that's the definition of faith. And this, you can't measure it. You can't put it under a microscope. But it's what makes this work, what makes the Word of God work in the earth is faith. But you can't measure it. So if you try to run an experiment, how are you going to measure the faith in somebody's heart? Well, they don't have an instrument that does that. One way you can see, though, is by people's genuine words of their mouth coming out. But see, so you can't run an experiment on that. Well, let's see. If somebody speaks, and let's see if anything happens. Well, you're missing a vital ingredient. You can get 100 people to repeat certain words, but that's not what makes it work. You have to say it, but you have to believe it. You can't measure the believing part. And so people, then they try to make rules and regulations. If I say this, this will happen. And they're missing what the Bible actually says. And so it doesn't work, and then people get mad, people get offended, people get frustrated, people think it's God's fault. Well, God has never failed a single person, ever. Ever. Nobody. Nobody has a story in here where you can say, well, God did it. And until we come to that point, and the enemy will lie to anybody. Anybody that will have an ear, he will be very quick to impugn God and say it was God. God, I tried that. It didn't work. So what you're saying is God failed. It couldn't be that I misunderstood something. This is what gets people off in the weeds. Why? Something didn't happen the way they thought something should turn out, the way they understood, and then they start to think, it's God. In so many ways, he failed me some way, somehow, and I'm not going to believe. I've heard of people that, and just recently I heard of somebody that was very big overseas, was completely, I mean, a leader in things of faith. Turned back and went back to some things that he knew, like as a young person, and turned his back on stuff. I mean, was a leader. Why does that happen? People get offended. People misunderstand. We need to know that no, not just with our head. No, with our heart. And when it doesn't look like anything is going the way you think it ought to, when it doesn't look like how your understanding of the situation is not playing out, that's when you are walking in faith the strongest. If you stay with God's Word and say, yeah, but God is still working. Yeah, but God's Word works. Yes, He has never failed me. He won't fail me now. That's when it's so tempting to start going off and start saying, what, why? How? What? In that, Satan will keep you going in circles all day long, month after month, and just has to poke some individuals, and they just go off in circles like this. Why? How? Why? I don't understand. Well, maybe you don't understand. Maybe we didn't understand something. But that doesn't mean we can't understand, and that doesn't mean we can't go forward even when we don't understand. Who said we had to understand everything all the time before we can move forward? Well, I want to know. Well, maybe you don't have the capacity to know right now. You ever tried to teach, you know, talk to a three-year-old about certain things? They could ask you questions, and you can't answer it right now. You could answer it, and they wouldn't be any the wiser because they can't understand what you're talking about. Right? There are things, right? Your child, if you had a child and they were three, two, they could come up with some questions. If you told them the answer, it's nonsense to them. Right? But what if they say, I can't go on until I know this? What are you going to do? You could try to tell them, but they still don't understand why. They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the context. What's the solution? Come back when you're a little older. You'll understand. Well, how much older than us is God? And sometimes we're like, I don't understand, God. I want to know. I want an answer. And he's going, looking at Michael going, they won't understand. What's the answer? Come back when you understand it. But what are you going to do? Say, well, what if your child said, well, if you're not going to answer this, forget, I don't believe in, I don't like you. I don't believe you. What? You know how many times I've gotten up in the middle of the night to deal with you and change your diet? You're going to say now, because I am not answering this? I mean, what does God do? You're 40, what? How many years are you? You're 50. And you're talking to the Almighty saying, well, I don't understand this, so you're not faithful. And he's looking, going, I mean, he has always been. And you're a few decades old, and you think you have it all figured out. So now, it didn't happen the way you thought it should with your little minuscule understanding. And now, I heard some sermons on faith, and I know how this ought to work, so what's going on, God? And he's the Almighty. You talk about, he knows everything. He knows exactly what happened. Right? So we ought to just stay with him. That, if you can't get that right there, all this other stuff that we're going to get into, you might as well throw it out. Because if we have to just settle that he is a good God, that he loves us, that he never fails, that anything that looks like it is not happening, it's not him. And that if we'll stay with him, we'll get it. Don't say, well, I just can't get it, forget it. Then you don't go to the opposite extreme. I'm just stupid. Then I know it's not God's fault. It's me, of course, and I'm dumb. I just can't get it. Forget it. What good's that going to do? And we ought to stay right in the middle. God, I don't understand, but I know one thing. You're faithful. You're good, and I will stay with you. You show me, but I'm going to believe this. I may not know everything, but stick to the things you do know. What do you know? I know I'm saved. I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stick right there. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me right now. And just start talking about what you do know. Don't start talking about all the things you don't know. Nobody ever got any further talking about the stuff they don't know. Well, I just don't know this and that. It multiplies. Pretty soon, you don't feel like you know anything. But you start talking about the things you do know. Pretty soon, confidence will start building. So our heart is so very important. Be very careful what you watch. I don't care if it's rated G. I'm serious. The rating does not... I would rather watch numerous rated R movies rather than watch some PG movies. You say, how could you even say that? There are rated R movies that are rated R, and I don't watch a lot of rated R movies. Very rarely. But there are rated R movies that are rated R's purely because they're graphic and they're showing something that is tragic, but the content is very good and it's showing war or something like that. You got to watch that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are PG movies that are in witchcraft and showing completely something that somebody's dying of something and they're impugning God. There are Christian movies I would not watch, quote-unquote Christian movies, that have a misunderstanding of doctrine and show somebody allegedly believing God for something, yet something bad's happening to them, and they're just questioning, and it will hurt, it can hurt your faith. I'd much rather take something that's flat out showing something noble and good with something hard. You cannot go by a rating. Now, I'm not saying you should go out. That means, Pastor Jim said, load up, go watch rated R movies. I'm not saying that. Because honestly, for me, I mean, my children could attest, we don't really watch anything. The stuff we watch is pretty low key. But you have to watch the spirit behind certain things. We have to watch what we're filling our heart with all the time. Don't ever say, well, I'm just going to watch this, whatever. No, because it's in there. It's hard to get stuff out of your head. Anybody found that out? You could have seen something 15 years ago and you can still see it. It's hard to get it out. Well, don't put it in. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. The issues of life that we just read here, they spring out of the heart. Verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now let's look at, let's turn over to Romans 10, just closing. We're just going to touch this, but just in light of what we're saying here. Romans 10:8. So we read in Mark 11:23, not the last time we're going to go there, but that he who, if you say, be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt, the man that who says that and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, that not doubting in your heart, believing in your heart, that the issues of life flow out of your heart, that out of the abundance of your heart you speak, that the what we believe in our heart is what really gives the punch behind our words. Romans 10:8 says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Two places. It's in two places. Not just one, not just saying. So just saying something like if it's a magic charm, that doesn't work. On the other hand, if you're believing something, you need to let it out of your mouth. If you'll let it out of your mouth, you put things into motion. You put laws in this earth into motion. Plus you hear it, as it gets established in your heart, it'll just reinforce what you're saying. You're declaring things in this realm. We have an amount of authority. And that we're exercising it when we're saying, we're speaking over ourselves. Verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that's how we got saved, that we believed in our heart. And we spoke. And we believed in Jesus. You didn't just say it. That's why trying to get somebody to repeat a prayer, that doesn't do any good. Well, you say this prayer after me and then you're saved. That's not the whole equation. They can say it all day long. You need to believe it in your heart. And that's the same with every area. When you find yourself, you're just saying it and you're just kind of hoping it's going to work, that's not the same as believing. You know that if you're constantly, we'll close with this thought. If you're constantly feeling like you're saying the wrong thing all the time, that you have a real hard time keeping your mouth saying the right thing, then you should check back upstream to what are you putting in? What are you meditating on? Because if you're putting the right things in, if you're meditating on the right things, then the part about speaking is not going to be the hard part. But if you're constantly going, oh, I shouldn't say that. I know I shouldn't say it, but I know I just feel condemned because I'm saying this, but I just can't help it. It's like the floodgates, the flood's coming down the road and it's about to hit this little gate and you're trying to put up a stop barrier then instead of stopping it way up when it's going to break out at the dam and reinforcing the dam. Mm-hmm. That you're trying to stop it when you're out of the abundance of your heart, you have put all this other stuff in your heart. And now it's constantly wanting to come out, and we're wondering that thinking the solution is just to change our words, when that's only part of it. Just changing your words without changing what you're actually putting in, that's not going to help. Now, changing your words, don't misunderstand me, saying the right thing is better than saying the wrong thing. But if it's a constant struggle, we should say the right thing, but start going back up. Going back up the stream a little bit and start seeing, what am I putting in? What am I putting in? What am I putting in? Start watching. Oh, I'm putting that. That's why that's popping out. Amen?